Our scripture reading for this morning is going to come from Galatians. It is Paul's letter to the Christian communities in Galatia. We've looked at it a little bit before, a couple of weeks ago, and we reminded ourselves then that there were some agitators that had come behind Paul and felt that what Paul had taught the people there in Galatia was not enough, that Paul was teaching faith in the Lord Jesus Christ without a corresponding regard to the Torah, the law. But this morning we want to look at chapter 5 in Galatians, and we're going to begin reading verse 1 in chapter 5, and then we're going to skip down to verse 13 and read from verse 13 through 25. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, adultery, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. On June 19, 1865, Major General Gordon Granger landed in Galveston, Texas, with the good news for the state's 200,000 slaves of African descent. The Civil War that had torn the nation apart was over, and those who were enslaved were now free. General Granger's news came almost 2.5 years after President Lincoln had signed the Emancipation Proclamation, freeing slaves in enemy Southern territory. But because there were few Union troops in Texas in 1863, freedom in Texas would have to wait until the surrender of Robert E. Lee and the arrival of General Granger and his regiment of Union troops. Many of the slaves there in Texas were jubilant upon hearing the news that they would be set free. But many were also shocked. They had lived in slavery all of their lives, and slavery had such a powerful hold over their hearts and imaginations that they couldn't even begin to imagine what it would be like to live as free men and women. But now they were free, and the question is, what would they do with their freedom? It has always been the question for those of us who are part of the African American community: what will we do with our freedom? Will we use our freedom for self-indulgence, or will we use our freedom to enhance humanity, help humanity, open the doors for other people to enjoy true freedom? And it's the question not only for African Americans, but it's the question for all of us as well. We Americans cherish freedom. Our great national narrative is the narrative of unfolding freedom. And indeed, it's possible to get the upper hand on any debate by associating one's cause with the cause of freedom. But if we're not careful, freedom can easily descend into licentiousness and self-indulgence that can be destructive to community. I remember several years ago hearing people make the argument about the need to deregulate. We hear that every now and then. Deregulation. Deregulation in terms of our personal morality, but also deregulation in other areas of life as well. And I remember hearing an argument about deregulating the finance industry, which was just a fancy way of saying that we needed to give bankers more freedom. And so we did, and it led to disaster, led to the biggest economic meltdown since the Great Depression. So we are reminded that freedom can be a good thing, it can be a blessing, but we have to make sure that freedom is held accountable, that freedom is exercised with responsibility. Often when we talk about freedom, we tend to emphasize negative freedom, which is freedom from something. Freedom from slavery, freedom from oppression, freedom from prison, freedom from want. But in the Bible, real freedom is not just freedom from something. Rather, real freedom is freedom for something. It is the freedom to love and to serve God and to love and to serve one another. That's the kind of freedom that the Apostle Paul is talking about in our text this morning. Paul is concerned with freedom, and indeed, freedom is one of the great themes in the Bible as well. The great biblical narrative opens up talking about freedom, God reaching down and freeing slaves ensnared in Egyptian slavery. And God frees them. And so Paul picks up this theme of freedom. And for Paul, there are two ways for us to live our lives. One is that we can live our lives according to the flesh. And whenever we hear Paul talking about the flesh, we tend to think of the body. And of course, whenever we think of the body, we tend to think of sex. At least here in this country, we have a long history of associating sin with sex. It goes all the way back to Augustine. And indeed, many of our biggest fights, both inside and outside of the church, have to do with sex. But when Paul talks about the flesh, he's not simply talking about the body. And he is not simply talking about sex. It encompasses those things, but it's much deeper and broader than that. When Paul talks about the flesh, he is talking about the tendency that we have as human beings to place ourselves at the center of existence. He's talking about the tendency that we have to be indifferent, not only to the will of God, but also to the needs and concerns of our neighbor. And he is talking about all the ways that we devour one another and use one another for our own selfish ends. That's what Paul means by the flesh. It's all the ways that we set ourselves in opposition to God and all the ways that we show contempt for our fellow human beings. For Paul, the flesh is a way of spiritual bondage. It is an orientation that we learn before we're even conscious of it. It's what captures our hearts and our imaginations so that we can't even begin to imagine what it means to live differently. It is a world where we have become used to walking. Walking in the flesh is walking in fear and hate and distrust of people who are different from us. Walking in the flesh is our way of looking at one another in ways in where we see people less as human beings and more of objects of exploitation. Walking in the flesh is the way that men sometimes view women not as people that have equal rights and standing, but as sexual objects for the gratification of men. Walking in the flesh is the way that we put our faith and trust in violence and money and other things that we believe can save us and fortify our lives. The good news is, as Paul reminds us, is that the flesh is not our destiny. Paul says, for freedom, Christ has set you free. We no longer have to be dominated by our selfishness. We no longer have to be dominated by our indifference and contempt for other people. We no longer have to be controlled and dominated by anger and violence and strife. We no longer have to devour one another. In Christ Jesus, we've been set free to love God and to love our fellow human beings, just as we love ourselves. That's what Paul means when he talks about walking in the Spirit. It is the process whereby the power of the Holy Spirit opens up space within us so that we can begin to imagine a whole new reality. A reality where we come to know that we are deeply loved and cared for by a gracious and loving God. A reality where we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to express our own freedom and faith in acts of self-giving love and service to others. It's important to understand that for Paul, it is the Holy Spirit that takes the place of the law. There are people who have come behind Paul and they are deeply concerned about Paul's preaching of faith and the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are fearful that the people of Galatia will hear that news and will take that news, and instead of living lives that they believe are worthy of God, that they will take that freedom and start living in ways that are less than loving, less than patient, less than kind. And so they remind Paul that the law is terribly important, that God gave the Israelites the law so that they might live as God's people, that God had saved them and taken them through the wilderness, and God had given them the law so that they would live as God's people and God would be their God. And the law was always about love. The law was not given as a set of rules and regulations so that if the Israelites broke it, God would get them for it. The law was a way of disciplining them and shaping them so that they would walk in the ways of love, that they would learn how to love God with all of their hearts, and they would learn how to love their fellow human beings. That's what the law was always about, teaching them what it means to love. And so these people have come behind Paul and they're blaming Paul and accusing Paul of not sharing the whole gospel. If the Galatians are going to be the people of God, then they're going to need standards. They're going to need training, just like we all need training. They're going to need discipline. They're going to need to know what it means to love. And so they're going to need the law. They're going to need the Torah. But for Paul, the law is just another form of slavery. Not because Paul thinks the law is bad. Paul believes that the law is good. It is God's holy law. But Paul also believes that the law is not what can help transform our lives. It only reminds us of how much our hearts are gripped by the flesh, how much our hearts and our imaginations have been captured by the ways of the world, by the power of sin and death. And so Paul says that if we're going to live as free men and women, if we're going to live as the people of God, It will not be by the law, but it will be when God engraves God's law on our hearts. It will be through the operations of the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit of life, transforming us and changing us and empowering us to be a new creation, to be the people that God has always called us to be. To be led by the Spirit is to have cultivated within us the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of God's own life, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and gentleness. All the fruits that characterize our freedom away from the flesh. And unfortunately, that's not the way that many of us Christians live. Unfortunately, we are perceived not as being places of kindness or gentleness or patience. All too often, we are characterized as being people who are judgmental. All too often, we are seen as being people who devour one another. All too often, we are seen as people embroiled and locked in conflict with one another. All too often we are seen to be people walking in the ways of the flesh. But Paul shows us another way, the way of the Spirit, the way of the freedom, the way of freedom. Paul tells us something quite stunning. He says that the purpose of our freedom is to be slaves to one another. We are called to be slaves to one another, servants to one another. Now go try selling that out in our world, to be slaves to one another and servants for one another. He has said that before, that we are called to be subject to one another. Men and women, husbands and wives are called to be subject to one another, to love one another. Masters and slaves are called to be subject to one another, to love one another and serve one another, be subject to one another, be servants of one another. That's the way of life, Paul reminds us. That's the way of freedom. That's the way that we can begin to break out of the prison of ourselves, the prison of me, myself, and I, the prison where the only thing that matters is what we can get out of something. But Paul tells us that real freedom comes when we get out of ourselves and open up our hearts and begin to love God with all of our hearts and begin to love our fellow human beings. Frederick Buechner, a Christian writer, once said that we can test how far along we are on our progress to living in the Spirit by asking ourselves who we've cried for in the last year. Is there anyone that we've cried for beside ourselves? Is there anyone that we've empathized with? Is there anyone who has touched our hearts outside of our own family circle? There are lots of people that should elicit our empathy and our concerns. We read about them in the last year. People fleeing oppression in places like Syria and Libya, hoping to find safe harbor in Europe, oftentimes only to be rebuffed and turned away, but sometimes being welcomed with joy and patience and kindness. People in our own country fleeing gang violence and deprivation and want from south of our border and coming hoping to find refuge and oftentimes being met by Christians, not with loving arms or concern or even empathy, but often with violence and contempt and disdain. Paul reminds us that unless we open our hearts to walk in the ways of the Spirit, that we will not share in the kingdom of God. Unless we open our hearts to one another, we will have no future share in God's kingdom. If we continue to give ourselves over to the ways of flesh, the ways of circling around ourselves and being preoccupied with ourselves and exploiting each other. We'll have no share in the kingdom, no matter how much we profess that Jesus is Lord, no matter how much we come to church, no matter how fervent we are in our prayers. What matters is whether or not we are walking in the Spirit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In another week or so, we will be celebrating the 4th of July, our nation's independence. And we'll be celebrating our freedoms and the rights that we enjoy as Americans. And we give God thanks for those freedoms, while we still have them. But we're reminded that there is another kingdom. We're reminded that there is a kingdom that is comprised of men and women around the world. And in that kingdom, freedom is not about jealously guarding our rights. Freedom is not about asserting ourselves. It's not about looking out for ourselves and our families. But freedom is about giving ourselves to one another. Freedom is about walking in the ways of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was Jesus who taught us what it means to really be free. Jesus, who had no place to lay his head, Jesus, who had no place to call his own, Jesus, who didn't have very much in terms of material possessions, it was Jesus who taught us what it means to really live as free, liberated human beings. He was the one who taught us what it means to live completely for God and live for other people, to love other people as we love ourselves. He was the one who was so free and so liberated that he could be obedient all the way to the cross. And we are called to follow him. It is for his sake that Paul reminds us that we have been called to freedom. And Paul says, do not sell yourself back into slavery. Do not give yourself over to slavery again. Do not open your hearts to live in slavery. Do not give yourself over to the old ways, the old concerns, the old arguments, the old factions, the old ways of devouring one another. Instead, give yourself to one another. Love one another. Open your hearts to one another. Embrace one another. Live for one another. Because this is the only way to true freedom. To live any other way is the way of death and slavery and destruction. For Christ's sake, my friends, you have been set free. Do not give yourself to a spirit of slavery again. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we live into these days of summer where we are reminded of so much, where we are reminded of the freedoms that we often take for granted as Americans, we ask that you teach us and help us what it means really to be free. So often our freedom is nothing more than acting upon our impulses, impulses that are exploited by various interests to get us to buy things that we don't need, to get us to live in ways that are less than edifying. But we ask, Lord, that you show us and help us to live into what true freedom is all about. Help us to walk in the ways of love so that we might have a share in your coming kingdom, which is the kingdom of love. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.